Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim O'Donner from the University of Alaska Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. As you all know, I'll be here with you on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska. From the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different frontier and mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes. Or maybe you want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trail. Well, what are we going to talk about first? First of all, I think that we should talk about a rock and mineral identification class that will be coming up starting next Monday at the University of Alaska Mining Extension. And the number there, if you'd like to have more information on rock and mineral identification, is 474-7702. Or you can give me, Jim O'Donner, a call at 456-2569. Once again, if you'd like to know more about rock and mineral identification, as for the beginner, there is a class coming up next Monday, starting next Monday. Give us a call at the Mining Extension office. The number, once again, is 474-7702, or if no one answers there, you can give me a call at 456-2569. We'll be glad to give you more information on that particular class, rocks and minerals. In addition to that, it's interesting to note that the School of Mineral Engineering over the years has had its fluctuation in student population and a number of other problems. At this time, we have within the school, we have not only geological engineering and mining engineering, but we have petroleum engineering and a couple of laboratories, a mineral industry research laboratory and the petroleum development laboratory, as well as the Mining Extension Program, which many of you are familiar with, and the program that I currently teach. At this time, there's some controversy regarding whether or not to maintain the School of Mineral Engineering at its present status in terms of autonomy. And I'd like to point out right at this time that something interesting has been happening over the past couple of years that perhaps the public isn't quite aware of. In the 1987-88 school year, Professor Degani was of the petroleum department was able to take his students down to an international conference where our students surpassed all other petroleum schools in research and conference presentation. And we were particularly pleased that we had to overshadow all the bit larger schools in petroleum and taken away first prize. And more recently, this past year, from our School of Mining, the students were entered international competition in mining technique and won first place. And at this moment, there's a 4-foot-high trophy sitting in the hallway of Brooks Building there at the University of Alaska campus that reflects the fact that we have outdone every other school in mining. And with that in mind, it would suggest to me that the instructors at the University of Alaska are certainly doing their job in training our students to be the best in the United States. And I would also like to point out, as many of you know, many of you out there have been my students and have taken the Mining Extension classes through the School of Mineral Engineering. And this is, of course, our public service arm, and these classes are non-credit classes. And they're meant for the public to come in, enjoy, and gain an insight about what's going on in earth sciences and rock and mineral identification, mineral exploration, gold prospecting, things of that nature. And I'm sure many of you out there have enjoyed these classes. These two, the Mining Extension Program, has served on an average of 250 students a year here in the Fairbanks area, and we're pleased, pretty well pleased with the turnout there. And as I pointed out earlier, we're going to have a rock and mineral class coming up next Monday, which is a portion of the mining extension program. So all in all, I think that the School of Mineral Engineering is doing what they are supposed to be doing, and that's educating people in the community and students of Alaska to be the best in the world. And I think that we're going to find that in the competition that the University of Alaska School of Mineral Engineering stands out above all others and has done so in the past and will continue to do so in the future. And there is some discussion that's going to take place tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in the Butrovich building regarding the School of Mineral Engineering and the contribution it makes to the University of Alaska and whether or not we should maintain it at its present level of integrity. And anybody wishing to make comment regarding the benefit of the school to the mining industry, to the public, and to the University of Alaska's image, as well as the benefit to the state of Alaska and its mining industry, are welcome to come to that meeting. Once again, it will be 9 a.m. tomorrow in the Butrovich building at the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. And I thank you very much for listening to that. And what shall we do now? Shall we do a contest? Well, let's see. Who should we do a contest? I know I got my favorites, my people out there. They're all ready to answer the big question so that they can win a silver ingot. So, as soon as I say contest, all the lines start lighting up. Let's see. We want to know who, where, and what they do. Let's see a phone number here, if I can find a phone number that would be interesting for us. How about 452-1751? Would you call that number, find out who they are, where they are, and what they do, and let's have a good explanation of that information. And the person that can give me that information, all they have to do is call us up here. Our number is 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us a good ad on those folks at 452-1751, and they will win a silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
Okay, at 452-1751 is Mount McKinley Savings Bank.
Oh, well, you've got that part right. That's who they are.
Okay, and they're located at 531 3rd Avenue or 530 4th Avenue because they border on both 3rd and 4th Avenue.
And where's the parking lot?
The parking lot is on 4th Avenue.
It's on 4th Avenue.
Right.
You got
their
that part right.
Main entrance is on 3rd.
You're doing pretty good at this. Have you ever done this before?
No, I haven't.
And you've never done an ad for me on Alaska Gold Trails before?
No, I haven't.
You're going to find out. It could be real profitable.
Well, good.
Let's see how well you know Mount McKinley Bank.
Well, I've been in there. In fact, that we used to have an account there. And it's a nice building, nice people. They're like most savings banks. They have checking accounts. They have savings accounts, loans, escrows. Let's see. The one thing that they have on their checking accounts, though, if you open up a checking account there, you do not get your check back. They only use the duplicate type of check. So if you want an account there, and they do have a good checking account, the one thing about it is you don't get your check back. You have to have a duplicate type of check. I believe they also have accounts for people that are over 55, I believe, is the age where there is no service charge on the checking account.
That's quite a service, isn't it? That's really an interesting service that they have. They call that one of their most innovative and beneficial services is the prime time account for those folks that are over 55 years old. Do you know any more about that?
Well, other than that's the main thing, but I believe they're also given a few other services such as free money orders and free traveler's checks as far as there being no service charge on these items.
That's correct. And they also give the first 200 checks are free and it earns an interest at 5.25%. So that was interesting that you had that on you. Are you, you're not, I won't ask that. Almost got caught off guard there. Well, anything else you'd like to tell
no,
us
No, I'm not over 55, thank you.
Oh. Well, I was just wondering if you qualified for the prime time account at Mount McKinley. Anything else you'd like to tell us about Mount McKinley? I know one thing that they were advertising heavily during the summer months is that they would give loans to build your dream home, and I'm certain that there's still that service available. And they also have the Saturday business hours that you can look into.
Oh, so. That's right. They do have Saturday banking.
So if you want to call them, what's that phone number again?
It's 452-1751.
By golly, you've done pretty good today. Do you have anything else you'd like to say? Do you know what you've done?
Well, I think I won silver.
You won some silver. And who did you win the silver from?
That's from Oxford Athletes.
That's correct. Do you know where they're located?
208 Wendell Street. I've been there.
You have, huh? Isn't that a nice office?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what we have to do now? We have to have your name.
It's Barbara.
Barbara, you want a last initial on that?
My initials are B-A-D.
Wonderful. Let me just drop that down. I put that in quotes. You said it. I didn't. And, okay, Barbara, you stop up here at Washington Plaza and pick up the certificate from the girls in the office, and then you'll take the certificate over to Oxford Assaying and Refining, and they will give you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot.
Wonderful.
How's that?
Wonderful.
Well, I'm sure glad you play. Well, you know, once in a while what I do is I walk off and forget to give the girls out the office the certificate. Well, you know, I found several certificates still in my folder here, and but they still get their ingot somehow. I don't know how the people do that, but it works out. Anyway, stop over, get your, I'm just signing it now. So it's all done. All you have to do is pick it up. I promise I'll try not to forget to leave it off with the secretaries out there. How's that?
Okay, thank you.
Barbara, thanks so much for playing.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now. Okay, this afternoon we have a special guest with us. And our special guest is Ray Lester. And Ray Lester, welcome to Alaska Gold Trail.
Thank you, Jim.
Ray, give us a little background. Where were you born?
Born in Seattle, Washington.
In Seattle, Washington. And what year was that? Or unless you're going to have some problem with telling your age.
The latter 50s.
The latter 50s, huh? And how old were you when you came to Alaska?
I believe I was around 4 or 5 years old.
Uh-huh. And when you came to Alaska, how'd you get here? Did you get by boat or by air, by car? Or?
I believe it was by car. Parents moved up here from Seattle.
I see. And where were they headed?
The first place we came to was Anchorage. Lived in Anchorage for, I think, about 3 or 4 months. At that time, my dad had gotten a job which required transferring him back to California near Oakland. We were there for a while and didn't really like it in California, so we came back to Alaska.
And what part of Alaska did you come back to? Right?
From there we came to the Fairbanks area,
mm-hmm,
for a short time. After that, my dad and uncle had decided to spend some time in the Brooks Range, and so we headed there.
And what part of the Brooks Range? Now, this describe this to the listening audience.
We were
north of us, I would assume.
We were about 80 river miles north of Bettles, on the Alatna River.
Alatna River, and what was the attraction on the Alatna?
I really don't know. It's something that, I don't know, my dad and uncle must have talked about for some time. Just wanted to spend the winter out in the woods, so to speak.
Was this, did they have a place? Was there a home there? Or what was the story behind
it? No, there wasn't.
You mean they just went up to the Alatna River back, what year was that again?
It was early 60s.
Early 60s. They went up to the Alatna River.
Yeah, and in fact, it was just my dad, my uncle, and myself to begin with. I was only about 6 years old at the time. And there was a fourth member at the time, a friend of my dad's and uncle's, who backed out about halfway through the trip.
Too tough for him, huh? Wasn't for the week.
I don't know what happened. Something happened along the line. He just didn't want to continue. So anyway, the three of us continued on our way and settled on an area about 80 miles or so north of, I believe the village was Allicacket, and proceeded to build a cabin.
You were what? 5 or 6 years old?
5 or 6 at the time.
And you helped build the cabin with your dad and your uncle?
Tried the best I could.
Yeah? And how big was the cabin?
Big enough to hold about 8 people. I don't know.
Was it one room?
It was just one room as far as I can remember.
A one-room cabin.
Yeah.
And you prepared it for 8 people, and that must have been your dad, your family, and then your uncle and his family.
Right. It was a combination of the two families.
And you all lived in a one-room cabin?
One-room cabin.
At what temperature did it get below zero there?
I would imagine pretty cold.
Things get kind of tight inside of a one-room cabin for 8 people?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. You have your problems.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to ask about the problems. Tell me, did you have a fireplace? And they kind of build an atmosphere for us so that we can get an idea of, this is a log cabin, right?
This is a log cabin, a very crude log cabin. As far as I can remember, we had an old cook stove and probably a type of barrel stove for heat. So heat really wasn't a major problem.
Well, that could have been one of the major problems.
Could have been.
You're up in the Brooks Range in the middle of the winter. What did your dad and your uncle do there? Did they prospect or did they?
They did some prospecting in the spring and summer, and they trapped throughout the winter.
I see. And do you recall at your young age what they trapped? Did they get, you know, what kind of animals or furs they had, or was that a consideration at that year?
All I could remember is Martin and Wolf.
Yeah. And, Martin and Wolf, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of hunting. Did they hunt moose and enter into the frontier lifestyle, or do you recall?
Whenever we ran short of meat.
Uh-huh.
All I remember living on is moose and caribou.
See? Did you do any fishing?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And at 4 or 5 years old, were you a fisher person?
I tried my hand at it.
Yeah. And did you ever have any interesting experiences that might be a tale of excitement to the listening audience regarding any of your trips in and around that area? Did you ever get chased by a moose or?
No. No, never had a problem with animals. I can remember one instance. Which we'd gone fishing one morning, and which was real near where our cabin was. And during the day, we had a lot of rain, and there's a log over one creek that we would always cross. And on the way back, the creek had basically flooded, and lo and behold, I slipped in.
Oh, is that right? And what happened? Did you get rolled down the creek?
Or? No. Luckily, the jacket I was wearing somehow had gotten stuck in some of the branches of the fallen tree that we used. And at that point, my dad went down underwater looking for me. And I can't remember how much time actually elapsed, but he did get me.
I see. So you were actually submerged.
I was submerged.
Entangled in the branches.
Entangled in the branches. That's about the last I remember.
Huh. If it wasn't for Dad coming back looking for you and grabbing you out of there, I might not have a guest today.
Yeah, I was just fortunate the tree had branches.
Ray, look, we're going to talk about some of the people who support this program, and then we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Folks, we got to give you a little bit of information about one of our tip-top sponsors, and of course that's Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. They've been in business for 32 years, and it has been owned and operated, you all know this, it's been owned and operated by 3 generations of Ginthers, And the man at the helm right now is Robbie Ginther, and he's the general manager. And I want to tell you a little bit about some of the other people that have worked over there or are working over there. They've been there a long time. They've got a lot of experience there at Tip Top Chevrolet Buick, and they're there to help you. And new car sales, that's Jim Brown over there. And, of course, he's got that strange philosophy of listening to the customer's needs and satisfying the customer. And I think that you'll find that Elmer Ostblom has a similar philosophy, and he's been with Tip Top Chevrolet for 6 years, and he's in used cars. So talk to Elmer if you see a used car that you like over there. Be certain that you get hold of Elmer and see what he has to offer. He'll listen to you and listen to your needs. In the service department, Randy Meadows. And Randy has 6 years' experience in Tip Top's service department and has been the service manager for over 2.5 years now. So Randy has some experience there. In addition to that, we want to talk about Randy Mayhew. And Randy has been with Tip Top Chevrolet Buick for 6 years, and he's the body shop manager. So you see, folks, that Tip Top Chevrolet has people on the job there that have been with them for a long period of time, understand the business, and they're ready to serve you. That's Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. Of course, I wouldn't want to get away this afternoon without giving you Robbie's little advertisement about their super duper Chevrolet pickups. And it goes something like this. You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape, with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look, folks, and don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet.
In his lifetime, the average American will spend 9 months waiting at red lights on his way to work, a month and a half riding elevators, a year and a half talking on the phone, and 3 of those months on hold, 6 weeks reading memos, and 37 seconds getting lunch at Godfather's Pizza. If one of these statistics seems a little out of whack, perhaps that's because Godfather's Pizza has perfected a system for a quick, delicious lunch. It's called Lunch Buffet, which means it's all the pizza and salad you can eat. And it's designed for those individuals who don't want their lunch hour to become just another sad statistic. Lunch Buffet. Enjoy your Godfather's Pizza and take life one bite at a time. Oh, and by the way, the average American also spends 9 months listening to radio commercials.
Godfather's Pizza Lunch Buffet includes all you care to eat pizza, salad bar, breadsticks, and dessert pizza, all for just $4.49. Try it for lunch today from 11 to 2 p.m. at Godfather's Pizza.
See, folks, you know what happened last week. Rochelle Elliott won our silver ingot. She gave a splendid ad on Macaulay's Repro Graphics. Where are they located? They're located at 721 Gaffney. What do? Well, they do all the engineering type things that people need done. They have complete engineering and architectural supplies. They have instruments for surveying. And, of course, they have quality compasses for the field geologists and field people who are out doing geology type things, and they have the hip chain for measuring off distances from one point to another, and they have a full line of drawing pins and drafting equipment right there at 721 Gaffney. Their phone number is 452-8141, and in addition to that, I'd like for you to tell Rebecca over there, you call her Becky, and Alfred, that you heard Jim Madonna here on KFAR on Alaska Gold Trails talking about it. Would you do that for me? Thanks a lot. Once again, folks, we're on the air with Ray Lester. If you have a question of Ray, the number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Give us a call if you got a question. And Ray, we were out in the wilderness and you were falling in the creek and you were all wet. And tell us a little bit, how long did you stay out there in the wilderness area and live?
Well, let's see. We were there from probably midsummer through winter, and I believe it was late spring that we came out, we were there probably for about 9 or 10 months, if I remember right.
That's quite a bit for a young man of your age to remember. I realize that. How did you come? Now, how did you get in? Did you go upstream or downstream?
We went upstream.
Did you have a boat?
Yes, we did.
And did it have a modern jet unit on the back?
No, this was an old prop motor. In fact, I do remember breaking many, many shear pins on the way up the river.
And did it, now tell us, when you arrived at your location there, you had all your gear stored in this old prop boat?
Yes, we did.
It was a river boat,
wood or
metal?
I think it was wood.
Uh-huh. And all your gear was there for the initial preparation of that cabin?
Right.
Okay. And did you have a whipsaw?
I can't really remember. I'm sure we did.
Did you have a chainsaw? You would have remembered that probably.
Yeah, I'm sure we probably did have an old chainsaw.
Okay. When you came back out, you wintered in there. What month did you come back out again?
I believe it was early spring, because I think we had a pilot come in and pick us up.
Oh, I see. And there was an airstrip, or how did he?
No, I think he landed on the river.
Oh, I see. And he picked you up. What was? Did you have enough of the bush? Was that it? Your dad?
I think it was something that was predetermined.
Oh, I
see. Approximately the time.
Uh-huh. So this was probably just an adventure that you, your father and your uncle and the family had in mind. They wanted to try it out.
Yeah, I think it's something that they wanted to do. Mm-hmm.
Your dad is a kind of an adventurous type fellow that likes to be outside, work outside, and if I'm not mistaken, he's currently a miner here.
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. When you came back out, that was probably when you were around 6 or 7, about ready to start school.
I was at in the second grade at the time.
In the second grade?
Right. In fact, I did have some schooling in the village of Allakaket before returning to Fairbanks.
And what was school like in Allakaket? Was it different?
I can't really tell you.
Too young for that, huh? What, one-room schoolhouse?
Yeah, I think it was with the, you know, all the grades in one room.
Uh-huh. That must have been an experience, but apparently wasn't one that would stay with your memory. When you got back to Fairbanks, where did you go to school then?
I went to Denali School from basically the second through fourth grade.
Second to the fourth grade.
Right.
And then where?
Fifth grade, I was at Nordale. Sixth, I went to Joy. Seventh and eighth was at the old main school. Ninth was at Ryan, and I finished out 10 through 12 at Lathrop.
I see. And did you take some time off after high school?
I took 1 year off after high school. Of course, at that time, North Slope was going real well, and there was always a chance for getting a job there.
Uh-huh. Did you work there?
No, I didn't. Things didn't pan out that way. About a year later, I enrolled at the university.
You went to the University of Alaska. What did you take up at the University of Alaska, Ray?
I started off in the mining engineering program and switched to geologic engineering about midway through the second year.
That was in the School of Mineral Engineering?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting to note. But did you obtain a degree there then?
Yes, I did. I graduated as a geologic engineer.
And what year was that?
In 1981.
In 1981. I had an experience at the University of Alaska that was interesting to me. I came from a school in California up to the University of Alaska because that's where I intended to enroll for my master's program, but I came up for field camp at the University of Alaska field camp here, and of course I enjoyed that. That gave me the outdoor information that I needed to relate to when I took my formal in-class preparations for the master's degree. But it was exciting from that standpoint, but the following year I was hired as the teaching assistant on that field camp. And you deal with a lot of different aspects, things that you don't quite think about. A lot of people think, well, you go out in the field and you do geologic mapping and it's pretty, you know, much routine educational stuff. But in the state of Alaska, you got to put up with a lot of other things.
You sure do.
And I know that you had, in order to obtain your degree, baccalaureate degree from the University of Alaska, it was required of a School of Mineral Engineering student to take that field camp.
Yes, it was.
And while you took your field camp activities long after I had gone away, what kind of interesting experiences, now recognizing that you did geologic mapping, what, in addition to that, give me a couple of your experiences in terms of animal life and weather and things of that nature that might have confronted a person in the field camp.
We didn't really see any animals any of the places that we had been. We spent about 2 weeks just east of Cantwell. And for those 2 weeks, it rained just about every day. In fact, the creek we were at was nearly flooding by the time our 2 weeks had expired.
So you had rain as your major problem.
Yes, it rained constantly.
And I don't know if anybody has ever been out trying to do field mapping in the rain, but it gets pretty difficult.
Yes, it does. In fact, it can't hardly be done.
And were you living in tents? We lived in, we had
yes.
tents.
Yes, we had
you
tents.
You had to do all your write-ups in tent.
Everything was in tents.
That's in rain. Ray, we've got a caller here, and let's see what they have to say. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim Adonis.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Larry Taylor. I was listening to your show there.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Just fine.
How's everything out at the 40 mile?
Just great. Water's a little low.
It is? Well, yeah. Are people getting gold out there?
Yes, they are.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, in fact, Ray can attest to that. He was telling me earlier this week there.
Oh, you've been in to visit Ray?
Yes, I have, and I was in there again today looking for him, and I heard him on your show.
Well, that's good. Hey, tell us where is in there.
Into the Oxford Assaying Company there, right there on Wendell Creek.
Okay, we're going to have Ray talk about that a little bit in just a few minutes.
Oh, good.
Good, yeah, you bet. Hey, and what else is going on in the 40-mile area?
Well, really, the situation's kind of calmed down out there. We've got settlements for the BLM and the Sierra Club, but really, the dredging's going along real good. Some of the cat miners have started up and doing pretty good out there.
Uh-huh.
But, give and take.
Uh-huh. Well, we're glad to see that the mining is resuming and that everything has been settled. There are a lot of the problems have been cleared out of the way so that everybody can live in harmony with one another.
Well, we've been hearing a lot of it on your show because we listened to it out all the way out there in the bush.
Well, you know, I've had a number of letters from the people out in the bush areas, and I want to thank everybody for dropping me a line and letting me know what's going on. And I'm really pleased with the fact that you would take the time to phone me and the fact that people will sit down and write a letter to Alaska Gold Trails and KFAR here and let us know that what's going on in the bush. And I appreciate most of all hearing that this radio station reaches that far. My goodness, how far is that, Larry?
That's 200 air miles by air and 350 by road.
Yeah, so we've got quite an arm there. I'm sure glad to hear that we reached that far.
Well, you know, the main thing I called, Jim, is I've been in town here several times, I've been out there several times, and I've never been able to stop long enough or either get to the phone the right time. You guys on this radio station and on the airways talking to everybody out here in the public about gold mining, per se, and the old-time trails, but I just wanted to let you know how much we appreciate you.
Well, my friend, I'll tell you, I really appreciate hearing that from you, and if there's any suggestions you might have, drop me a line, and I'll try to put them on the air for you.
Well, I'll tell you what. Put more people on like Ray.
Okay, my friend. Thank you very much for the call.
I just thought I'd call you and say thanks.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, that's your fan club, buddy. How do you like that, Ray?
Real good.
Well, where were we? We were talking about field camp.
Talking about field camp.
You know, I had an experience that was kind of animal-related. At the time of field camp, this was a couple of years ago. Actually, it was, my goodness, let me think about this. About 20 years ago, I guess, 19 or 20 years ago, I was a single parent at the time, and I was in McKinley Park leading the camp, and it was permissible for me to bring my son along. And this one day, we were required to go into an outback camp, and we were hiking up one trail, or one drainage system, and then we had to make a right turn into a small creek that drained into that larger river drainage. And we were walking up through the thicket there and encountered a sow and two cubs, and that was probably That was quite an experience for the two of us to confront the grizzly bear in that environment. As you know, it's not legal to carry firearms in the park, and so we were unarmed. And I can't express myself clearly enough as to the fear that ran through my body when I took a look at that sow and the two cubs there. But we escaped, and here we are doing Alaska Gold Trail. So anyway, with that in mind, you know what I think I better do here? And I think we better talk about one of our sponsors. And one of the sponsors that has been on the show for a long time, and that is B&L Pawn Shop. Fact is, they've been with me just about 2 years now, and they're located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. A lot of people say, oh, B&L Pawn Shop, that's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. And you know, folks, that's kind of an understatement. It's kind of like having a huge, huge, giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you just anything you might imagine. Just to give you an idea of what they have over there at B&L Pawn Shop, let me name off a few items. They've got jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything you want at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. And if you're a little, if your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So, that's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. They're open 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard Jim Madonna talking about him on Alaska Gold Trail. Ray, we were talking about school and the University of Alaska. It's interesting to note that I gave that big spiel concerning the School of Mineral Engineering, and it turns out that you graduated from the School of Mineral Engineering. It was, fact of the matter is, I was taking a class at the same time you were.
Same time I was, right.
Yeah, that's right. I was taking a refresher class in ore deposits.
Right.
And I think Tom Smith was teaching
right.
that class. That was my. That was a few years ago. And that was a fun class. We really had a lot of fun in that class.
Yes, it was. A lot of work, though.
Yeah, a lot of work. Did what do you think about your education at the University of Alaska School of Mineral Engineering? You think you did pretty well there?
I think it was a real good education. I feel kind of bad that it's having the problems that it is now. I think it is should be one of the focal points of the community because we really do need to have mining continue to be real strong.
Okay. You know, this school has gone through several cycles of when people have attempted to, I don't know, they've attempted to reorganize the school and do away with it as an individual school and blend it with other programs. And it was interesting to note that one student said to me one time, he says, well, how would you feel if you graduated from the School of Mineral Engineering and went out to get a job and you told them that you had graduated from a particular college, and they said, oh yeah, we remember that school, that's the one they did away with. You know, that really wouldn't reflect very well on his education.
No, it sure wouldn't.
And he was out there beating the bushes for support for the school to maintain its autonomy and integrity within the University of Alaska. And that was interesting to me to note that the students were putting that much energy into it.
Right.
At any rate, let's go on just for a brief moment to what kind of work did you finally end up in when you graduated from college? What was the first job that you had?
Well, a year after I graduated, I started work at Oxford Assaying and Refining back in the spring of 1982.
When did Oxford Assaying and Refining originate, do you?
It opened the Fairbanks office here, I believe, the fall of 1980.
And you said Fairbanks office. Does it have another office?
Yes, we do. We have one in Anchorage that opened, I believe, about 6 months prior to the Fairbanks office.
I see. And you do basically the same thing? Or?
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. Do you do assaying? And?
Yes, Oxford does both smelting, assaying, and refining.
I see.
Of precious metals.
And where do you do the smelting and assaying?
Presently, everything is done in our Anchorage office.
Do they do the refining there as well?
No, the refining itself is done through our parent company, which is Oxford Metal Recovery,
uh-huh.
which is based in New York.
I see, and that's closer to the trading area?
Very close.
Uh-huh. And do you trade in terms of good delivery bars?
Yes, we do. In fact, it's a combination of some bars and some what they call shot.
Uh-huh. Good delivery bar is a 400-ounce?
It's a 400-ounce bar, right.
I see. And tell us a little about your experience. When you walked into Oxford Assaying and Refining and asked for a job, did your education help you get that job?
Yes, it did.
It did. So that you indicated then that you had a background in mining and engineering, and that you understood the mining community and therefore would be an asset to them?
Yes, I did. In fact, I noticed others that had applied for the job basically had the same type of schooling.
Mm-hmm. And they were very fortunate. You say you went to work for them in 1982. You've stayed with them
quite a few years.
Are you not quite retirement time yet, Ray?
Not quite yet.
You've been right there, and you just had testimony that a lot of people appreciate you around the state. So, and that was nice, Larry, to give us that call and that bit of support. Let me just take a quick break here for a couple of announcements, and then we'll be right back, Ray.
Your attention, please. A select number of Fairbanks and North Pole residents will have the opportunity to double their Alaska Permanent Fund dividends this year only. Double your dividend has returned to Fairbanks Nissan Volkswagen Honda. Simply choose from our huge selection of quality new cars and pledge your dividend to the purchase price. We'll match that dividend dollar for dollar. It's like getting two dividends instead of one, and you drive away with a quality new car. But you better hurry. This offer is good only during the month of September at Fairbanks Nissan Volkswagen Honda, a dealer you can count on.
It's anniversary month at Fred Meyer. Our month-long salute to you, our valued customer. We're celebrating 66 years of serving you with extra savings store-wide. In 1923, Fred G. Meyer promised customers the service, selection, quality, and price that satisfies them best. It's still the same today. Find out for yourself during the dollar sale, this week's anniversary celebration. There's no better time to stock up and save on the things you use all the time, like cooking utensils, sheets and towels, things for your medicine cabinet, auto supplies, sporting goods, and a terrific selection of exciting home electronics. Your dollar will stretch farther than ever. There's also a baby sale on the names you trust, like Gerber, Fisher-Price, Curity, and other favorites. Don't miss the anniversary celebration at Freddy's. There's extra savings in every department. And you can enter to win a four-night super cruise to Baja, Mexico, no purchase necessary. All this and much more during Anniversary Month. Our ongoing salute to you, our valued customer. You'll find it at Freddy's.
Are you turned on? Turned off? Are you listening to me? That's the question. Right now, you need to listen very closely, because this may lead in the future to winning a silver ingot. I'm going to say just a little bit about Gabe's Truck and Auto. Are you listening? Listen close. You will want to know that new things are coming at Gabe's Truck and Auto. You know that the owner of Gabe's Truck and Auto is Gabe and Kathy. You know that their phone number is 456-6156. That's 456-6156. You know they have a terrific towing service. You know they have that no pass, no pay policy on their IM inspection. But what you don't know is the things that are coming, the new things that are coming. I want you to find out what kind of new things are coming between now and next week so you too can win a silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. Once again, their phone number over there is 456-6156. That's Gabe's Truck and Auto. They're off Van Horn for the best auto service in town. Folks, we're here with Ray Lester. Ray, you said you went to work for Oxford Assaying and Refining, and tell us a little bit about what would happen if I walked in with a poke full of gold. Let's say I had 100 ounces of gold. Would that be wise for me to walk in with 100 ounces of gold? Do people walk in with that much gold?
Yes, they sure do.
They will. More? 1,000 ounces?
At times.
At times, 1,000 ounces of gold? If gold is $500 an ounce, that means it would be worth $500,000, a half a million dollars. Is that right?
Real close.
Yeah. Real close? My goodness. Isn't that amazing? A half a million dollars? One plunk on the counter.
Impressive sight.
Is it?
Yes,
you get big nuggets?
A few. More so in the past.
You get big nuggets in the past, not so many anymore. Do you ever get anything like 5 or 10 ounce nuggets then?
I've seen pictures of a few that size. I take that back. I did see one that was about 11 ounces.
But did it come through the door?
Yes, it did.
11 ounces.
A miner brought it in to show us what he had found.
There are certain areas around the state that have big nuggets, and while others have just fine gold.
Yes, there are.
Uh-huh. Just because an area has fine gold doesn't mean it isn't a highly productive area, does it?
No, in fact, it used to be a real common statement with the miners that it's the fine gold that pays the bills. The nuggets are just nice to get.
They're just nice to get. Kind of the frosting on the cake?
Right.
Yeah. Tell me, let's say that a miner brought in 100 ounces of gold. Can you kind of run through what you would do with that gold, how you would pay him, how you would get his money?
Right. The first decision that the individual would have to make is the terms that he would like for the gold. We offer a couple of different refining schedules, different time lengths that pay a varying percentage. From that point, the gold is sent to our smelter, where it is smelted, and after that it's assayed. And the next step beyond that would be the actual refining of the gold, whether it be put into shot form or to become part of a good delivery bar.
And once they have it assayed, they are paid on their assay?
Right. Payment is based on the amount of fine gold that was actually recovered from that placer.
Uh-huh. And tell me, when a miner brings the gold in, there is sometimes some black sands, or it might be wet, or it might have some iron oxide incrustations on
it.
Right. How does that fit into the scale of evaluating the gold?
Okay, basically, there is always going to be some dirt with the gold, even though some black sand may not necessarily be present. We have seen some gold that is almost like where the gold is encrusted on something else.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no outward visual appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Black sands, any oxides, sulfides and so forth are taken care of at the smelting stage.
Mm-hmm.
The material is fluxed to clean out any type of impurities from the gold itself.
Okay. And so that gives us a shrinkage then.
Right.
Okay. Good. Let me just run this by the folks and we'll see if we can get this phone call in.
Never has browsing been so wonderful and actually enjoyable. Yes, browsing through Craftsman's Furniture at 160 Old Steeth can be a wonderful way to spend some time. Right now you can see those great sleeper bargains that Wayne has, like the queen size for only $4.19 or the full size for only $3.99. Wayne says that the 1990 styles are arriving daily, so go by and browse at Craftsman's Furniture on the Old Steeth next door to Burger King, or give him a call, 452-4747.
Well, I guess our caller gave up on us, noting that it's getting very close to that hour. Ray, once the gold has been fluxed and poured into a miner's bar, it is then evaluated, is that correct?
Right. From that stage, drillings are taken out of the bar. Those drillings are then assayed. And from that stage, the balance of the bar is taken directly to the refinery.
Okay, what's the other major element that occurs with the gold?
Mostly silver.
Mostly silver. So if you had 80% gold, about, 18%?
You're going to have right around 18% silver. The balance, the other 2%, will just be a combination of base metals.
You like living here in Alaska, Ray?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? Thanks for joining me on Alaska Gold Trail, Ray. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Jeff.
folks. I want to thank Ray Lester, and I also want to thank you, the listening audience, for participating in Alaska Gold Trails today. It's been a pleasure. This is Jim Madonna, and you're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial right here in Fairbanks, Alaska.